Today's sponsor is Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/Dolce for a free audiobook download. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 96, and it's November 3rd, bitches! You know what that means. Christmas is on the way. Did we talk about the Halloween Christmas decorations last time?
We did talk about, yeah. Yeah, we did it.
Fucking insane. Now, everywhere we go, going out to brunch yesterday, there's Christmas decorations. But I digress. I'm not going to get into it. I'm a Christmas fanatic. I love Christmas.
Mike really is. You know, he's like a closet Christmas fanatic, though. Because you don't come out with it.
Out of the closet?
I find you smiling, though, when you're doing things that are Christmas.
I love it. Just not November or October 28th. It's not Christmas. It's not even Halloween. And now it's November 3rd and it's Christmas everywhere, which is kind of ironic because we live in Las Vegas. So it's like beautiful blue skies, sunshine. I'm walking around in shorts and tank tops.
It's chilly here though now. It was in the 60s.
When you got guns like these, you don't take off the tank top.
What?
I don't care how cold it is. Damn it. I'm wearing tank tops. You're lucky I'm not walking around with no shirt on.
I'm going to get you, what about that Darth Vader Christmas sweater I found?
Yeah.
I'm going to get Mike an ugly Christmas sweater, and I found one. It's Darth Vader, dressed up like Santa. It's big and red.
I'm like Ralphie on a Christmas Story. Brandy forces me to wear these horrible,
the bunny suit.
Yeah. And I just have to stand there, and I just have to take it.
But you do take it. It's funny.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
51 days, 12 hours, 55 minutes, and 24 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Till the big day.
And guess what Brandy's getting for Christmas?
What?
I love this. Is why I like Christmas. I like to play that game.
He likes lording.
Guess
the,
what I
the
got you for
over.
Christmas?
Seriously? Stop. Why
yes.
do I always fall for this?
I'm going to tell everybody right now on the show.
He's not. What?
What? Not you.
Oh.
So you have to go in the other room.
No.
I tell. See, Brandy is beholding Christmas blessings from the Mike Dolce Show audience.
He didn't get me anything
yet. Oh, I did. I have. Now her whole mind is just like, boom, off the show. She has no idea what she's doing anymore. She's going to start going through my emails, my bank statements.
I never do that. I'm not like that.
Anyway, episode 96, guys. How are you? We want to thank our sponsors. Get that out of the way. Not because we don't love them, but because we have other things to talk about. We want to thank Onnit. Onnit.com/Dolce, guys and girls. If you're not shopping at Onnit, you're not totally optimizing your human body. That's their slogan, total human optimization. And that's what Onnit does. Absolutely love them. And, you know, you see my face plastered all over their site. That's for a good reason, because they are the bomb. Onnit.com/Dolce. Save 10% on everything. I'm actually drinking their MCT oil and their Caveman Coffee Created Colombian Amber. Ooh, it's such a delicious design. Not very good for this cold, crisp. Well, when I say cold, it's like 64 degrees in Las Vegas, so not exactly cold for you East Coasters.
Cold for me.
My Brandy's wrapped in her pink little robe. Onnit.com/Dolce. Check it out. Also, we have CavemanCoffeeCo.com. My buddy Keith Jardine and Tate Fletcher, the two masterminds, and Sons of Anarchy star. They're both in Sons of Anarchy. What else were they in? They were
That's
in
super cool.
Breaking Bad. So, you know, you'll probably see them in quite a few different movies and television shows. And they are the big, scary, super nice guys in the background, usually beating the shit out of everybody.
That's really funny, because like when you know how nice they are,
yeah,
it's kind of comical.
Two of the nicest, coolest dudes
out
there.
They look like the part. They look really good.
And they can kick your ass.
Mean.
So you better buy their coffee. CavemanCoffeeCo.com. And use promo code Dolce, save 10%. I rave about it. My Twitter feed is blown up with all you guys who have been buying the white gold, the black diamond. They now have their cold brew coffee, which I drink at the office. It's awesome. Add 2 ounces of the cold brew, 6 ounces of water. You mix it up. Boom. Perfect iced coffee. I've been living on that actually at Dolce Diet Center in Las Vegas. And also we want to thank CavemanFoods.com/Dolce. That's what we gave out for Halloween here at the Dolce House. and everybody absolutely loves it. The parents are very thankful that we're not polluting, poisoning their children, but we're still giving them delicious treats, and the kids don't even know it's good for them. That's the beautiful thing about Caveman Foods bars. The kids don't even know it's good for them, and they gobble them up anyway. So parents, why would you feed your kids crap when you can feed them Caveman Foods bars? Check it out. Check out their new website just launched, cavemanfoods.com. Use promo code Dolce, that's me, and save 10% and also save your kid's life. Well, that's allegedly.
That's
harsh. Is that a legal statement there?
Wow.
Maybe I'm stretching just a little bit. But at least feed them something healthy. Kids, I take these on the road. You guys know about that. You see my athletes tweeting, blogging about it, talking about it. They show up in UFC countdown videos. So it's true. The evidence is there. It's what we use. It's not what we eat every single day, every single meal, every single day, but it's definitely what we carry around in our backpack when you need a snack in a pinch. Caveman Foods is there.
Oh, God.
Could have created a jingle. What else do we have? Is that it?
That's it.
I think that's it. We have the – well, we'll get deeper into the Dolce certification program December 6th. That's not exactly a sponsor, but that's just some business we should throw out there. But I think we'll talk about that later on in the show. So, boom, boom, boom. All right, guys. The thing I want to talk about today is something I've been talking about internally here. And this is gym fucking idiots. Holy shit. I'm fired up. So I'm cursing right now.
I got to say, it's even aggravating me. I mean, it's really aggravating. You go to the gym.
Go to the gym to get a goddamn workout, to actually train. Imagine that. Imagine going to a gym. Imagine paying a gym membership anywhere between $20 and $200 per month, depending on the gym you go to. And you actually have the fucking balls to want to work out while you're there. You have the gall to want to perform the required sets and reps at the proper intensity and not fucking dick around talking to some asshole that stands by your bench waiting to get your fucking attention so we can talk to you? That's bullshit.
And creepy.
And creepy and weird. It's one thing to give the head nod. All right, you're here. You're pushing. I'm pushing. What's up? Keep fucking pushing. Over there. You need a spot, whatever. Just holler. Or when I see it crush you, I'll run over and fucking peel it off you. That's how it goes. So lately, and I'm not going to name the gyms, we train at a few gyms here in town, and it's unfortunate. It's a blessing and a curse being Mike Dolce. The blessing is I get to talk to you guys constantly, and I get to be a part of your change and your success. And I have that amazing, wonderful interaction. The curse is the fact that there are a few select people out there that say, hey, there's that Dolce guy. And they feel like it's okay to come up to me when I'm in the gym, in the middle of a set, in the middle of my own personal private workout, just like another human being is allowed to do in their own personal private time. And I'm trying to get my personal private workout in. And they think it's okay to say, hey, Mike, I just have a question for you. I can't afford to pay you, but I'm going to ask you fucking 20 questions.
And so, then make an excuse.
And then make – as soon as I start to answer, you cut me off halfway through my fucking answers.
But I don't like vegetables.
Tell me why you can't do it. You fucking waste my time, son of a bitch. So if there's any accountants out there or auto mechanics or orthopedists, look out, because I'm going to find where you work, where you play golf. I'm going to find where you go grocery shopping, and I'm going to grab you in the middle of an aisle. And I'm going to ask you, hey, Mr. Accountant, listen, I can't afford to pay you. I don't respect you enough to pay you. I don't want to pay you, but I want the information you have. So can you help me refile my 2008 income tax, please? And, I lived in three different states at that time, but so sorry.
But then I'm going to ignore everything you said.
And then I'm going to ignore it. So I'm going to take 20 minutes of your fucking time, usually when you're with your family, doing something with your family. And I'm going to bust your balls and I'm going to take your time. So why am I so hot about this? Because for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to get my workouts in. I've had to change my training time so I don't go at times where known culprits are at the gym trying to do this to me. And it's not fair.
But they're always there.
They're always – it's like they camp out at the gym waiting. And I don't know if it's just for me. I don't think I'm that special.
I just think it's extreme coincidence.
For some reason, they're always there. And they're never working out.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not working out. That's the fucking thing. Not a bead of sweat on them. Not a bulging vein. Not a single grimace. They have all the gym clothes on. They look the part. It's like they're at a fucking nightclub or a costume contest.
Well, if they were working out, they wouldn't be talking to you.
And I get, hey, Mike, you know, I see you're fucking, you know, sitting back on your heels, or you got a wide squat stand or whatever. A little gym question appropriate. Keep it short and sweet. No problem. I have no problem with that. I spend my fucking life talking about exercise and diet and all this great stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a time and place. And think about whatever your job is in life. If you're a fucking barista and you're out on a fucking date at dinner and some asshole that comes into your fucking shop comes up to you and wants to start picking your brain about the proper temperature to roast an espresso, well, that's going to get fucking annoying, especially if there's three of them in that same fucking night that ask you the same question basically and then cut you off in the middle of it. So if you've ever done this to me, I'm not talking about you.
I hear the collective eye roll from around the world right now.
I'm not talking about you. But what I want to say, is, and I'm taking this, and this is the lead-in, because I'm not a gym snob at all.
No, not at all.
But I'm a fucking stickler. If you're at the fucking gym, goddamn it, work out. There's a reason why most people look like shit. And there's a reason why most gyms are fucking not packed, but their roster is packed. They're making hundreds of thousands and millions of fucking dollars a year. And the corporate gym business is based upon you not showing up. They don't want you to go there. Most gym fucking rosters have many more members than the gym can actually hold, can actually house, because they know 80% of you motherfuckers aren't even going to show up. So if you do show up, if you do go to the gym, you better fucking go there and you better train your fucking ass off. And guess what? If you're lifting weights for over an hour, you're not fucking lifting weights properly. You're not lifting hard enough. You're not lifting with the proper intensity. You're fucking dicking around, wasting time. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what your fucking sport is and what you think, what you say. If you go in focused with a fucking goal and you train your ass off, you're out of there in an hour. Now, if you tack on another bit of cardio afterwards or you do some ancillary exercises, that's not what I'm talking about. An hour or less in the gym is more than fucking plenty to get your ass out there, out of there, and get back to your real life. All too often, next time you go to the gym, look around and look at everybody that still looks like shit. That still look exactly the same as they did last week, last month, last year. They still look the fucking same. Then look at their workout.
But they're there all the time.
They're always there doing dick, doing nothing. You should be fucking beet red in the gym with veins bulging out of your fucking temples, bloodshot eyes. Ladies, that's
like
you
me.
Too.
Yeah.
Like you, no. Pregnant Brandy.
No.
And what's awesome is, so we train at a Lifetime Fitness here on Charleston near the Red Rock Casino. That's one of the gyms we go to. That gym is amazing in that the hardest training people in that gym are the ladies, the 25 to 55 year old ladies. I don't know what category you would put them in, but the ladies. And I don't want to say housewives because I'm sure many of these ladies are professionals.
All walks of life.
These ladies come in and they bust their ass.
And they look great.
They're very tight, round.
What?
Tight butts.
What?
What? These ladies are busting their tails.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
In the gym. And they look absolutely amazing. And they're working harder than the fucking college age 20-something-year-old meathead kids that are just sitting around talking about last week's football game or what happened at the fucking club or whatever the fucking party was. And those fucking dickheads, speaking of those dickheads, so there's this couple that goes to our gym.
Oh, no, not the couple.
And we noticed the gentleman, the guy, maybe 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. I look over at the squat rack. And
tall, good-looking guy.
Tall, very fit-looking guy.
Fit-looking, yes, for sure.
Look over at the squat rack, and he's doing squats, I guess. I guess they're squats.
They weren't.
Now, he probably doesn't go down, barely unlocks his knees, doesn't go past 20% of the way down.
Well, he went pigeon-kneed.
His knees buckle in.
Yeah.
And then he stands back up. It's not a squat. And he's doing sets. He's doing sets of this as if he's actually working out. Now, he's tall, so it's a little more difficult at first to squat properly.
No, that wasn't a squat.
So you lighten the weight. You go all the way down, full range, and that's where you get progress. Now, he's a toothpick. So anyway, I'm like, oh, my God, worst squat form I've ever seen. And he doesn't know because he's acting like, you know, staring in the mirror like he's fucking the man. So a couple weeks later, we see him and his girl, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think it's his girlfriend.
Wife, don't know, but the female that, you know.
His female counterpart.
His female counterpart. They come into the gym all fucking swagged out in their gym gear. Obviously, they got a couple bucks in their pocket. So now they come into the gym and they set up. And in the dumbbell area, you guys who know gyms know. So our gym has three separate adjustable incline benches. And then we have a Bosu ball incline, which is actually pretty cool, but it's kind of hard to use. Then we have two of the hard seats that are, you know, where you can basically do behind the head extensions and things like that. Then we have another three just straight flat benches. So, and the gym is packed. It's pretty busy at this time. So I'm there with Brandy, my pregnant wife. We're training upper body.
Okay, what we say.
It's important.
My handicap or something. My pregnant
it
wife.
It is. It's 6.5 months pregnant. And we're in the gym. We're training chest. And we want to hit inclines. So we go over. And this fucking tall, squat fucking dick and his girl, they take two incline benches. They set them up side by side.
It's a date.
It's a date. And they have them right in the mirror. And they're staring at each other in the mirror.
Lovingly.
And they're doing seated lateral raises with fucking like 5, 10, 15 pounds, tiny little weights. And they would do the sets and they would just sit there, each on their own bench, monopolizing the benches in a very busy gym.
They were monopolizers.
They were. It's just very rude. And then some fucking other douchebag comes over who looks like a former college football player that got really into the man have beard thing. And I think he's all about the Viking
men
fucking
have beard
movement. Yeah. So he comes over and they just all fucking start yapping, start fucking talking. I look at my watch for 5 minutes. They're fucking talking. Now, when Brandy and I train, we share the same piece of equipment because we're not rude. And we train hard. I go, she goes. I go, she goes. Nonstop. She's, again, pregnant.
Yes, everybody knows.
And fucking trains hard and pushes and grimaces and grunts. Now, these two fucking dickheads, they're staring at each other in the mirror, not even fucking straining. It's like it was a photo shoot.
But they're so pretty.
But they, in their mind, because they're not even that pretty.
I think the girl's pretty.
She's
pretty.
Anyway, and the conversation, I was so fucking angry.
He was really pissed.
And it was all I could do to not walk over and fucking say something to them. And I had a bunch of things in my head that I was going to go over and say.
Okay, so what would you have said?
I don't want to repeat it.
It was pretty bad.
It was going to be aggressive and it was going to be fucking rude and it was going to put it on. Did you come here to train? Are you here training? You need two benches to do the same exercise? You're taking 5 minutes in between your set to do a 10 second set and you need two benches? The gym is busy right now. Like, this is what you wanted, something along those lines. And then the fucking big oaf just standing there doing fucking shrugs with 40 pound fucking dumbbells.
Men have beard.
Yeah, with his beard. His beard looked awesome, though.
His beard.
And his tank top was perfectly cut. Perfectly cut tank top. God, it must have taken him 2 hours to personally cut his own tank top.
I don't like the tank tops on men that show their nipples.
Yeah.
It grosses me out for some reason. Like, I know men can expose their nipples, and it's perfectly PC to have, you know, nipple exposure on a man. But, ew, the stringy tank tops, like,
unless your name is Flex Lewis.
Then, because that's like a specimen, you know, that's okay.
That's part of the job. But if you're fucking Johnny Hoover, who just happens to be training at the fucking gym, nobody wants to see your fucking nipples.
I don't want to see nipples. I just don't.
In the fucking gym. And nobody wants to see you at the fucking gym unless you're fucking working out.
Nipples or not.
So, that's a little bit of my rant. Guys and girls out there, the purpose of this rant, other than to mildly entertain you, hopefully you haven't shut the show off right now, is I'm venting, so this is very cathartic for me, and I appreciate it. But at the same time, the moral of this story is, if you go to the gym, God damn it, for the love of all things fucking fit. Exercise. Go in the gym with a plan, bust your ass, and get the fuck out of there. Get out of there. Go back home. Have your post-workout nutrition. Get your ass out of there. The gym is not meant to be a social club. It is a place for you to go and inflict massive amounts of controlled pain upon yourself, and then you want to crawl your ass out of there. That is the goal, so you can go home and repair that body. The gym is the time where you damage your body, and you need to damage your body in order to repair it when you go home and eat. Don't waste your time talking to people in the gym. Get their fucking phone number and text them or Facebook them or tweet them or score them or wherever the hell else there is out there for you to waste your time in life. It's not at the gym. And speaking of which, the selfie motherfuckers. Don't be taking selfies in the goddamn gym. If you want a photo of yourself in the gym, have your training partner snap a photo of you while you're actually training.
Oh, that's what I do to you.
While we're actually training, Brandy will snap a photo. I'll snap one of her because I like to chart her pregnant progress.
Very funny.
But it's good because – and you see the fucking video of her actually doing deadlifts, doing barbell rows, doing incline presses, doing dips, doing real workout, real work. Not that fucking fake foo-foo bullshit that you see most of the other people doing, men, that aren't even pregnant. How dare you?
I hope the men aren't pregnant.
They – at least that would be an excuse for them not to be training hard, but that's even no excuse at all. So I'm pissed off about that. Anyway, all right. Train. What else we got, Brandy?
We have a bunch of questions.
Let's go.
All right. Julio Lopez says, will you eventually offer online webinars for those of us that can't make it out to Las Vegas?
Julio Lopez, yes, we do have the Dolce Diet Certification course. That will be a 12-week online course. We already have the curriculum built. Now we're packaging in the format that will be very easy for you. So it's going to be an online course that will be supported with complete digital assets for you to sit down and watch us teach our lessons. Plus, we're going to you'll have books, so you'll have a complete text manual to follow through. And then you'll have the ability to take the test when you want. We do suggest it. It's a 12-week course. Now, you can expedite it, really bust your ass. You can take the test whenever you want, but we say it's a 12-week, full 12-week course. It's a college-eligible course, and that's something that we're looking to get CEUs into certain organizations as we move forward. Right now it's not, but we're looking into the NASM, into the some other larger organizations. I think we'll stick with NASM for right now. But it's going to be awesome. So if you want to be a Dolce Diet certified coach, this is going to be the outlet for you to do it. If you attend any of our seminars, that's going to be entry into the course. And there's going to be, you know, so you're going to have, you know, first opportunity, and you're going to get a little bit of a bonus, you know, to be a part of the certification course. But if you're a personal trainer, if you're a gym owner, if you're just a regular Joe, if you're trying to enhance your resume, there's nothing better, in our opinion, than a Dolce certified coach. And you know the name holds quite a lot of weight in the industry. If you're listening to the show, you understand what I'm talking about.
When do you think the webinar, like next year?
It's set for January.
Oh, good.
So it's all the curriculum is actually built. It's now making sure that we have the best possible product for you. That's what it's about.
I like that. All right. Lachlan Harrison says, what sort of meal plan do you have Lindsay Valenzuela on?
Lachlan Harris, that is top secret information. No, not really. Well, she's eating the Dolce diet protocols. Now, everything is different for each athlete, but the principles never change. So Lindsay's meal plan is not that different from Ronda Rousey's, which is not that different from Johnny Hendricks, which is not that different from Vitor Belfort's. The meal plans are similar in that we follow the principles. It's earth-grown nutrients. Lindsay is eating real food. She's eating much more often than she had eaten in the past. Her meals are much more diverse than they were. She was eating, you know, quite a bit less of nutrients. She was kind of skewing much closer to a paleo style program. And if you heard, we had Rob Wolf on here. Even Rob Wolf doesn't eat a paleo or doesn't suggest the paleo style in its written concept. Now go back and listen to the interview that I had with Rob. We put a lot more carbohydrates back into Lindsay's program. And guess what? She's lost weight, gained muscle, and increased her lifts and feels a hell of a lot better.
She's such a sweet girl.
Yeah. We were out there the other day.
Yeah, the other day.
Awesome. Phenomenal human being. Very sweet girl. One of the most talented athletes on the planet. And I predict she will be the 2015 CrossFit Games number one gold medalist champion. Boom. And that's the goal. That's what everything we're doing right now is for Lindsay to step on the top of the platform in first place and to win that fucking gold at the CrossFit Games 2015. And nothing's going to stop her. She is focused. She's training an entire year, over a year, for this competition. Everything that she's doing between now and then is just little pit stops along the way. She's training to dominate the CrossFit world, which is awesome. And you guys know, previously, I didn't understand CrossFit that much. I was not really an advocate of CrossFit. And I had some less than flattering things to say about CrossFit. As I've learned more about the CrossFit culture, the CrossFit movement, and the CrossFit mindset, I really do appreciate what these athletes are doing, especially the higher level athletes. For the lower level athletes, you have to be careful. And even the CrossFit coaches, the better coaches, they accept and understand and do agree with the statement that if you're new to exercise, you really need to be under the tutelage of a high-level coach that can train you properly. If you're a housewife and you haven't exercised in a few months, few years, you cannot walk into a CrossFit gym and start training like Lindsay Valenzuela. Now, you can aspire to train like her, but you have to take the proper time to learn the skills necessary to train the way that she does, to put that type of stimulus on your body in order to do what she does. So as far as what she eats, she follows the Dolce diet, tried and true, and we're really happy to have her on board.
Chris Harvey is asking, how do I apply 3 weeks to Shredded to a young high school wrestler who has to make weight at least once a week?
I think you get him on the program and then you just continue on. If you're following 3 weeks to Shredded, he's going to be as lean as possible. Then you can waive the weeks, see what week fits best for him, because he's always going to be within a striking distance of making weight. So you just use the weight cut protocol at the end. But I would say maintain the 3 weeks of Shredded program, because you see that it is carbohydrate dense. It has all the proper macros that he needs with a few individual adjustments. And that's what we talk about in 3 weeks of Shredded, is how to adjust it for the individual. But I'd say start, you know, have you started yet? Week three, week two, week one, see how he feels, see what week he looks best, feels best, performs best. And then 3 days out, 3 to 5 days out from weigh-ins, you guys institute the weigh-in protocol. Pull the weight off him temporarily, rehydrate him back up, let him kick ass, let his body stabilize for a few days, and then we bring him back down again.
You know,
uh-oh,
someone's asking about our new cookbook, and it'll be out before the end of the year. It will be, but I just wanted to let you guys know that we do have the Dolce Diet Holiday Dishes book out, and that's, when did we put that out, last year? I can't remember, but it's actually what we make for Thanksgiving. It's our actual holiday menu. We made it last year. We're making it again this year. It has like homemade cranberry sauce. It's how we do our turkey. Everything in all the sides. It has the desserts in it and everything. It's $2.99 on Kindle, so you can pick it up really easily. And it's super easy to follow. Super easy recipes that aren't complicated. If you haven't cooked before, you could do this. You can make an entire Thanksgiving dinner.
It's awesome, especially if you've never made a Thanksgiving Day dinner before.
Yeah.
It's get our holiday dishes program, and it's only on Kindle, right? It's not on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on Kindle right now.
It lays out everything. You will wow the crowd with the amazing meal, and it'll be healthy, which is awesome. It's exactly what Johnny Hendrix is going to be eating here at our house on Thanksgiving.
That's right. Johnny's going to be joining us for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's awesome. We got to keep Big Rig in shape, but even though he'll be a few days before weighing in, Johnny's still going to be eating Thanksgiving dinner, and that's something that's very important.
Well, yeah, the fact that we can make Thanksgiving dinner and have an athlete eat it, it's organic, it's healthy. So, it tastes like, it tastes,
it's
naughty.
Delicious. Yeah. You will be shocked.
It tastes naughty.
This has been out for a few years and always rises up to number one on Amazon, on Kindle during the holiday season for good reason. Read the reviews on it. Everybody loves it. And it's, you know, super inexpensive. Yeah. So, it's less than a cup of coffee to get this. And then it's what we make every year for the most part. We make it for Thanksgiving. We make most of it for Christmas. We make it on Easter. I mean, we make it year round. Once you have it, you have it.
Yeah. So that's the Dolce Diet Holiday Dishes. So I hope that helps you guys out. What else do we have here?
And your dog is farting.
That's your dog,
no,
buddy.
Your dog. I'm sitting here. I'm like, what is that smell? I look down and I see Pitbull butt.
She's so cute. I'm so glad I'm over here across the room.
Oh, Jesus. But she does look cute.
She does look cute.
Splayed out on her blankie.
She's adorable. Bo Anderson says, hey, Mike and Brandy, on days where I train twice a day in the gym, I have been doing 2 weight sessions followed by 10 minutes of high intensity cardio. Would it be more beneficial to do 1 whole session of cardio in the morning and then a strength session in the evening, or carry on with what I'm doing? My goal is to grow lean muscle and lean muscle mass and burn fat. Thanks from Sydney, Australia.
You know, what you want to do is you want to vary your training. If you're hitting cardio twice a day, that's going to be too much, and it's going to be hard to continue making gains, G-A-I-N-Z. Excuse me.
He said one cardio session.
But it wasn't he doing 2 cardio sessions initially?
No, he was doing 2 weight sessions followed by 10 minutes of high intensity cardio. Oh, so then is that like 20 minutes he was doing?
Yeah.
All right, so you're listening.
So if you're doing 2 weight sessions, that's a lot, especially if you're training with intensity, because if you're tracking your heart rate is probably above 130 beats per minute. So you are in, you are in a fat burning zone. If you're training at proper intensity, you might not need that additional hit high intensity interval training after your workouts. What I like to do is I do like to separate my cardio training from my weight training. I'll do a little of, cardiovascular movement, whether it's bike riding, whether it's walking, whether it's elliptical, for about 10 to 15 minutes before workout, just to ease into my training session. Then I'll do some active or some dynamic stretching to prep my body. Then I'll transition into my warm-up sets, to my main work sets, and I'll go through and finish the workout that way. I like to do my cardio. Typically, I like fasted cardio first thing in the morning, and there's a lot of people that bounce that back and forth. We're going to have Dr. Lane Norton on here at the end of the week, and we're going to talk about this with him a little bit. Now, I've been using it with great success myself and my athletes for years, for decades even. There are others that don't do that. They do the HIIT post-workout, and they have great results also. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. Me personally, I like to get up, get out of bed. I sip on a little – sometimes, and I've been practicing with grass-fed whey protein. I'll take a grass-fed whey protein isolate. I'll slam 25, 30 grams of that down. I'll have a little bit of the Onnit Caveman coffee spiked with a little bit of MCT oil. Then I'll get on the treadmill and I'll walk for 60 minutes. I'll keep my heart rate somewhere right about 140 or so for the duration of the time, mild incline, walking about 4 miles an hour or so, anywhere between 3.5 and 4.5, but let's say 4 miles an hour. And I feel great. It helps me keep lean. It helps me – I mean, it's more than just leaning out. And this is something that I want to talk to you guys about, that there's a big confusion. Now, everything you do in life, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't have to be about cosmetic. It doesn't only have to be about the way you look in the mirror. When I get on the treadmill and I walk for 60 minutes first thing in the morning, I have a much better day. My mind is clear. My heart's been pumping. I've got a good, healthy sweat. I didn't have to burn my adrenals and really bust my balls and push and do that super intense work, even though it's shorter duration. It's shorter duration, but it still has a dramatic impact on my body. I don't like to do that. When I do train hard, I train extremely hard. But I like my other style of training also. It makes me more well-balanced. Now, for me to get out there and walk 4 miles a day, 4 days a week, well, that's a big deal. That's, 16, 20 miles a week I'm able to walk, times 50 weeks a year. I'm able to walk a shitload of fucking miles. I have that in my bank also. Not only do I have 500-pound squats and deadlifts and 300-plus-pound rows and chin-ups and dips and all these meathead things, I have a lot of active recovery training also, but then the social or the emotional side. There's really something to be said for the cognitive impact of just walking. Steve Jobs, very famously, was a walkaholic. He would get some of his most brilliant ideas while walking, and I can attest to that. Not that I've ever had a brilliant idea, but I have some pretty good ideas when I walk, and I keep a notepad with me. And just things pop in and out of my mind, and I'm able to clear up a lot of my life stressors while I'm walking. So it's not only about your midsection. It's not only about being fucking ripped. That's a very incomplete lifestyle, and it's not sustainable. So to answer the question, what I would do is I would have a – I would alternate. I would do every other day of steady state cardio, which is what the type of cardio that I'm talking about, and I would mix that with high intensities. And I would do that, you know, 4 to 6 days a week. So 4 to 6 days a week, you are hitting a specific cardiovascular type of workout. But also at nighttime, and I prefer to do my heavy intense training at night when I've had multiple meals in me, so I can really get in there and push. You want to go and have your good hard workouts. I'd say somewhere, you know, four to five workouts a week. If you're training with a proper intensity, it's hard to train more than that. And that should be a kick-ass program for you.
Danielle Stolle says, or Stally says, hey guys, first of all, I just want to thank you both for being such an inspiration and a great source of encouragement.
Lies.
Oh, that's nice.
All lies.
Thank you.
You'll get your payment in the mail soon. Yeah.
What do you think is the best way to encourage people around you?
That's me opening Skype. We have a little surprise coming. Keep going, Brandy.
That was rude.
I know.
I'm talking. All right. So Danielle asks, what do you think is the best way to encourage people around you to start living a healthier lifestyle? I've been following the Dolce diet for a year now and will never go back. But some of the closest people in my life don't lead a healthy lifestyle, and it scares me how irresponsible they can be with how they treat their bodies.
The best way, truly, of inspiring other people is to live the lifestyle yourself. And that's typically the hardest way because you have all those crabs in the pot trying to pull you down, trying to talk bad about you, trying to make it harder for you to do the things that you know that you should do. That's really what works for us. That works with most of the people that we deal with. You have to lead by example. You have to show them that your way is better than every other way. If you're not showing them, they're not going to believe you because you have to have proof, undisputable proof. And the undisputable proof is the way that you look compared to them. And they can see the way that you eat, the way that you train, the way that you think compared to them. So all of their negative ways are now knocked out of the box because of what you're able to do. The proof is always in the pudding. Nobody can argue with what you do. Now, you can't be a snob or annoying about it because that will repel people and push people away. I used to be like that to a degree. I used to try and force everybody I knew to do it my way because my way works. Look at this. What are you doing? Do it like this. And that repels people because they're like, oh, dude, shut up. I'm sick of you. I don't want to do what you say just because it's you. So then, like the hot chick, I pulled away. Now I'm not going to tell you. Now I'm not going to show you. Then all of a sudden people want to know. People start to ask questions. That's the way to do it. You really have to live by example, lead by example. And unfortunately and ultimately, at the end of the day, it's only about you. You can't make anyone do what they don't want to do. And that's what sucks. And that was, you know, kind of was shitty for me to understand. I figured that out quite a while ago. And it's just something that I had to accept. I cannot save everybody, no matter how easy it would be for me to step in and save people and just tweak the little things that need to be tweaked and just kind of fix them and get them moving forward. I just can't do that. You know, so just do the best that you can. And the people that want to move forward will. Now we have a special phone call to make. Let me see here.
Who are we calling?
It's a surprise. For those listeners from last week's episode, you might remember a young man that didn't answer the phone.
Oh, God. Really?
Really.
Does he know you're calling?
He does. So, Joe Louis Lopez, we're calling right now.
It's probably Lewis.
We'll find out.
Hello,
Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Great. I was waiting for your call. I'm right now. I'm here at the boxing gym. We're just wrapping up. And I was like, man, I hope I don't miss him again.
Awesome. So we're on the air right now, and everybody who listened to the last episode knows that we called you three different times last time, and you did not answer. Where were you? What were you doing? That was so important.
Okay, so I was really disappointed. I downloaded the podcast and listened to it, and I was even more disappointed in myself. But it was the day after my fight. I woke up in the morning. I was out the night before. I woke up in the morning, looked at, and I just looked at Facebook, and I seen your request for callers to call in. And so I left my number, let you know what, that I used your 3 weeks to shred it to cut weight for my fight the night before. But I did it, and I looked at the phone for a second. I was like, he's not going to call me. And so I fell back to sleep. And then I woke up, and I had 3 missed calls from you. I was like, oh, my God. And then I got the voice message from you also, and I felt horrible. I felt like shit.
That's awesome. We're just joking around. We're having fun. No problem. Now, you won your fight. Tell us a little bit about using 3 weeks to shredded. What did it do for you? How did it change your prep, your weight cut, and how did you feel in the fight? Then walk us through the fight.
Okay, so 3 weeks of shredded was, I'm so glad I used it. I'm going to continue to use it. How I came about it is I've always listened to your podcast, and I've listened to others like Joe Rogan and guys that are associated with you guys and on it because I really like your guys' ideas. And so it always piqued my interest, but I never took the plunge because I had a nutritionist working with my team. But he was more of a into, like, I've heard you talk about this on your podcast before, bodybuilding, like how people cut in bodybuilding. He was more into just protein and carbs and wasn't really into making you feel good, like it's as like a fighter's needs, like how you use fruit and blueberries and you feel good throughout camp. And so I picked up 3 weeks to shred it this time to use it. And I started to use it, was a little bit skeptical because I didn't have someone right in front of me to help me through the weight cut like I was used to. But I just told myself, just stick to it and follow exactly what it says. And, like you said in your podcast, you'll be fine. And I even read in your book that, you know, everything will be fine if you just follow the rules. And so I followed the rules exactly, made a few changes for things I didn't have at the last minute. But throughout camp, I felt great. Even from the first week, I felt great. I actually started it at five weeks out and used the third week for 2 weeks prior and then got into 3 weeks as it got closer to the fight time. But during fight camp, I felt great. The breakfast bowl is delicious. You were correct. I could not wait for any time I had the breakfast bowl in the morning. It provided me a lot of energy throughout my training session, my morning session, which is 2 hours long. And then the food throughout the day was an abundance of food, and and I was always full and enjoyed the food, enjoyed all the recipes. And so that's where I was with the 3 weeks to shred. And I was a little skeptical, but then I listened to your podcast, reread the book, and your positive reinforcement in your podcast really helped me out. And some of the questions the callers had really helped me out also, because they had some of the questions I had, and it just and the weight was coming off, and that's what also helped me stay on track.
Beautiful. And what was your starting weight? What was your heaviest weight? And then what was your lowest weight?
Okay, so I started at 182. I was heavier than I wanted to be, and I fight at middleweight, and that's at 160. And so I made it to 160. And through all this, I'm also trying to move down in weight classes because for my height and it's boxing, I really need to be at 154, 152. But I'm right now I'm at 160, still trying to move down. And I started at 182. And I also looked at what you have in 3 weeks to shred it, and Thiago L starts a little bit higher than me. So that scared me a little bit too, because I was like, oh, man, he's heavier than me. Maybe I should lower the calories. And once again, I heard you also say in one of your podcasts that plan will work for anyone, whether they're a heavyweight, a lightweight, a middleweight, just follow it and cut down as you go down. So I was at 182, and per the book, I looked at every week how he dropped weight. I dropped the same amount of weight as him going all the way through until the last week. The last week, my weights were a little bit different, and I know everyone's body's different. Instead of losing 2 pounds a day, I lost 2 pounds a day. Then I started going to 1 pound a day, 1 pound a day, and I started thinking I'm doing something wrong, but I wasn't. And it's just my body was probably different from his. But the weight came off very easily. And at the morning of the weigh-ins, I just had to cut, I think it was 4 pounds, which is pretty easy using your step method.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. And it's normal that you lost a little bit less at the very end because you started lighter than Thiago. And
that's what I thought myself. Yeah.
Perfect. And then you lost 4 pounds the day of a weigh-in to anybody listening. That is perfect. It always sucks losing weight, especially the last 2, 3, 4 pounds. But when you can do it the way that we do it, there's no easier way, no healthier way, in my opinion. And then you go in, you weigh in at 160 pounds, you rehydrate back up to what within the next day?
I was back up to 174 the next day.
Beautiful.
Day of the fight.
And you stepped into the ring at 174 pounds or so?
Yeah, I stepped in 174, and this is a very important fight because I have been – I started boxing late. I started when I was 26 years old. I'm actually 30 years old now, and I started late, and my story is a little bit different from others and pretty exciting because now that through that fight, I've been fighting on Top Rank. I don't know if the listeners are familiar with who Top Rank is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the biggest promotional company in the world. It's like being in the UFC for boxing. And so I've been fighting on their cards. And recently with this fight, they told me we're really what they, I've impressed them. They've liked all my fights before. I'm undefeated. I was 3-0 before this fight. After this fight, I'm now 4-0. They basically came to my team and said, hey, if he looks good in this fight and he wins, we're going to sign him to a contract. And so come in and put a little bit on me, a little bit of pressure on me. But I came into this fight and took care of business. And because of how the 3 weeks of Shredded helping me, I'm now in negotiations to sign a contract at Top Rank.
That is awesome. That is a dream come true right there, bro.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, especially where I come from. Like, I didn't have a big amateur background, and that's what kept Top Rank from signing me in the first place after my two first fights. They liked what they saw. They've seen me train. When I came to their gym, they've seen me train with some of their other prospects that are at my level, and their Olympic-level prospects. I'm silver medalist from this last 2012 Olympics from Brazil. I went in there, and I kind of put it on them a little bit. And they're like, "This guy, where's this guy come from? Like, how did he start so late, and he's doing well? And he's just picking up the sport of boxing." But the only thing that scared them was my amateur career. I don't have as much background as some of these other guys starting at 8 or 9 years old. But now I made them believers after this last fight. And, yeah, like you said, it's a dream come true, and I'm just running with it. And I plan on continuing to use the 3 weeks of Shredded.
That's so awesome, bro. I love it, man. And you're exactly why we wrote that story, to help get this word out, to keep young athletes like you healthy so you can go out there and achieve your dreams, give you the best possible chance to go out there and compete on the same level as the world-class athletes, the world champions. Because I guarantee you're cutting weight right now. You're doing your prep for these fights better than most of the pros. You know that I work with Andre Berto now. And Andre Berto came back after a layoff, and he was like, oh, man, I don't know. The way he used to cut weight was one way. And, you know, he said he was just suffering. His body would break down. And that's where he was getting all of his injuries. So for this last fight, his comeback fight, he was on weight 3 weeks before the fight, eating the way that we've eaten. And he could probably drop down to a weight class if he wants to, or we're going to build him up, add more muscle. He said he couldn't believe how easy it was to be on weight and how good he felt for the first time in his career. He actually felt amazing going into the last phase of training, going into fight week. He said, and then in the ring, you know, it was probably the best he ever felt, which is what he needed coming off a 2-year layoff.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And just like him, I was used to suffering at the end of the weight cutting process, and, you know, not eating and really draining the water out. And yeah, it was really suffering. I couldn't believe how easy it was. And I kept rereading how you would talk about how easy it was to ease my mind. I'm like, it's going to be easier. And it was. Everything you said came true. Even at the end, even the day of the weigh-ins, I could have cut more weight if I wanted to, but I was on weight. There's no reason to keep going. You know what I mean? I had energy. I was eating. I had more water in my body. I wasn't fully dehydrated. I just took out what I needed.
There we go.
It was extremely easy, like you said.
So now with a few little adjustments, you might be able to drop down to 54 easily.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about that. That was one of the main questions I had, because I'm not sure where to go from here. I obviously need to lower my regular body weight. And I was thinking of just using the first part of the 3 weeks continuously until I get down to that. Is that something to plan? Or?
That's exactly what I would suggest. Go back on to the first phase of 3 weeks of Shredded and then ride that out for a little while, especially now that you just came off your fight. Because a lot of times, as you know, guys and girls, athletes who compete, they yo-yo. They go out, especially on a win or a loss, they go out, they start eating, you know, kind of like a civilian, the shitty way, and they bounce right out of their weight class. Then all of a sudden, their metabolism slows down. They do all sorts of damage. So what we want to do is we want to go right back to the foods that got you there. And there's the term reverse dieting out there. Now, it's not exactly a reverse diet, but it's very similar. And we infuse the same exact meals, the same exact foods, the same exact ingredients back into your body in a structured format. So it allows your body to stabilize, but also it works so well for you during the hardest part of your training. Why wouldn't you, and I'm speaking, you know, globally to everybody listening, why wouldn't you want to go back to that style of eating? So you can continue to make gains, make progress, but walk around at a leaner, lighter body weight, especially if you're a combat athlete who competes in weight class dominated sports. Walk around leaner, lighter. Let's still look to add a little bit of muscle. Push through your training so you can acquire more skills, more techniques at a lighter, faster body weight so you can bring more force per square inch to the combinations you throw or the techniques that you employ and continue moving on. So that's – I would 100% suggest that. Go back to the first week of the 3 weeks to Shredded program. Maybe once a week, once every 10 days, you do what we call a refeed, which is we throw in – and I know that the power pasta is in there, so we would bump that just a little bit depending on the training and the time between your next fight. But if you do that, man, your walk-around weight is going to be considerably lower. I think you probably could have made 154, no problem, this last fight. I think you can definitely make it next fight.
Yeah, and you know, hearing you say that, Mike, it gives me so much motivation and so much belief that I could do it. Literally listening to your podcast and hearing you say it right now, it just makes me want to keep working.
That's
it gives me so much positive energy, dude, and I love it, and I love what you're doing.
Hell
and
yeah.
Man, I can't wait. Like, I'm on the diet back right now. I mean, I took a day where I gave myself a earned meal after my fight,
yep.
And I went right back. I just told myself, we'll just go back on the first week, and now I'm on the first week. Like you said, because I was pretty sure that you were going to say, but I needed to hear it come from your mouth.
That's it.
So, I'm right back on that first plan to get back down the weight, because I can't wait to walk around closer to that weight. So it's even easier to make the weight class, because as you know, as a prospect in boxing, you fight a lot more often than you would, because I'm at 4 and 6 rounds right now. You fight a lot more than you would if you're a 12-round fighter like Andre Berto is doing. They take a longer layoff. We fight like once every one and a half months, every 2 months. We could get a call and it's like, hey, we need you on this show. And we got to be out there.
Absolutely. And that's the way you have to. And same thing at MMA. You know, the younger you are, you want to gain that experience. The promoters want to see you fighting more. You want to rack up that record. I know once you want to get to that 10 fight level, especially a 10-0 prospect. Now you can start signing some bigger deals, signing for bigger events, and really start making more money because you're a professional. But, you know, going back a little bit, athletes forget. You are a professional athlete 365 days out of the year, not just when you're in training camp. And this is where a lot of really talented athletes go wrong, and they never maximize their potential, and they never go as far as they could have because they don't. They're a part-time professional athlete, and in a combat sports, you cannot be. Even in golf, Tiger Woods is on the course 365 days out of the year. Very rarely is he not. From the time that he was an adolescent, a child, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, he was applying his craft, no different for combat sports. And at that level, when you're a professional athlete, genetically, you guys are all the same. So there's very few advantages. You all have good coaching systems. You all have good power, good speed. Everybody has a little bit of something that makes them special, but it's no better or worse than the other professional in the other corner. The difference is what you do in your downtime, what you do in your off time. And this is where George St. Pierre was such a dominant champion. 365 days out of the year, he was training like a world champion. He wasn't taking downtime. He wasn't, you know, just sitting on the beach drinking cocktails. If he was on a beach, he was in Brazil. He had the gi on, and he was training with some of the baddest black belts in the world. This is what professionals need to do, especially when it comes to nutrition. Because without good nutrition, you can't train properly. You can't push as hard. You can't apply and absorb the techniques that you're being taught, and then your body breaks down at a much faster rate. So you can't continue to keep pushing. And this is something that's really important. So speaking with you right now, Joe, as you start your career, man, I really want you to take that to heart. You win your fights right now. You outwork your opponents right now in the dark days. And there's that famous Ali quote that the fight is not won under the bright lights of competition. It's won months before, during those dark, cold mornings when he's out there doing his road work and nobody's watching. There's no photographer, you know, following him around. That's when the fights are won. Same thing with you, brother.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that, man. I appreciate the words, and I really do believe you. And yet, that's why I jumped right back on the 3 weeks to Shredded, and I'm already back in the gym right now training. And I'm not in full-blown camp, but we're training pretty hard. Not like we do in camp, but I'm still staying sharp, sharpening my skills. And I take that to heart when you say that a professional is a professional for 365 days a year, and it's true. And hearing you say that, you know, it reinforces me once again to believe it and live it every day. And it helps me make better choices in what I'm doing outside of the gym when I go home and the foods I want to eat. And I know, yeah, I want to reward myself every now and then. But like you said, I want to live that lifestyle. And my life is boxing right now, so why not treat it like that every day of the week? You know?
Absolutely. There's a famous story about Bernard Hopkins after he had won he had defended the middleweight title for, you know, yet another time. I forget how many times he had done it, but more so than any other fighter in history. And he goes out, he defends his title, he's walking through the casino, and whoever fought on the undercard, the co-main event of the undercard, young kid, sees Bernard in the walking through the casino, and he's like, hey, you know, B-Hop, he's like, you know, come on to my, and the kid's already, you know, fucking drunk partying, got all sorts of chicks on him. Hopkins is with his wife, he's walking out, and he's like, yo, man, he's like, come on, my after party, you know, we're gonna get fucking crazy. And Hopkins is like, no, bro, congratulations, you know, I'm gonna go home. He's like, home? He's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, you just fucking won the title again. He said, yeah, but I have to prepare for the next one.
Nice.
And that's, you know, I'm paraphrasing that story, but it's that mindset. And we see Hopkins out there now at his age. He's the oldest competitive professional in combat sports right now, and he's still dominating. And his lifestyle is, I mean, it's known that that's what he does. I mean, he will allow himself a piece of cheesecake because that's his one vice after a victory, and that's it. He doesn't pollute his body, and that's something that's really special. But it shows that the proof is out there, and a lot of people are like, oh, you need to reward yourself, and you can't do that stuff year-round. Bullshit. That's just a lazy man's excuse to fucking be average. You want to be above average, and I don't think Hopkins has the best genetics in the world. And I don't think he's the fastest. He's certainly not the strongest, but he was the best because of what he does outside of the ring. And with that, Joe, I'm going to leave. I'm going to, you know, hop off the phone. Brother, thank you so much. It was great to connect with you. Keep us posted. I want to learn more about your next fight. Contact me, whatever I can do to help you as you go and build your career, man. I'm in your fucking corner, brother.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate everything you've done. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon, my man.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
What a great story.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love it. That's exactly why we do what we do here. It's not about the, you know, the super famous athletes. It's about the young kids also. It's about the people that are just making their way. They're trying to have this chance, this opportunity to go out there and change their life. So we have Joe Louis Lopez, professional fighter, professional boxer. Looking like he's going to sign with Top Rank, which is, again, the UFC of professional boxing. And that's so awesome to be a part of that story. Do we have any more questions, Brandy? I know we're starting to run long on the show now, but it was good to get Joe on.
We do, but we're going to have to tackle these in our next podcast.
Give me one more question.
One more question? Okay.
I know we have so many questions.
I feel like, whoa, how do
just
I pick this
one? Shut your eyes and pick one.
All right. Yeah. I love the way they sound. Who are those? Are they monks?
I don't know.
Yeah, they get this like anyway. Okay. What is? Oh no. Hold on. Uh-oh. I'm getting there.
Here we go.
Okay, this is cute. Jill Wareham says, "Hey, Mike and Brandy. We've been following your principles since April 2014, including our 5-year-old girl and 9-year-old son. What would be good for our 9-year-old son to eat before and after hockey practice games? He's a high school level player that is on the ice 4 to 5 hours a week. Practices are in the evening. Most games are at 7 a.m. Oh, she's up at 4-ish. Jesus. Depending where we have to travel. Most places are about 1 hour away and he needs to be at the rink at 6 a.m. for warm up and getting dressed. Right now he's consuming the oats and berry smoothie minus the orange. And then she included a cute picture of her 9-year-old son playing hockey. It's so cute.
Awesome. So he's 9 years old, but he's playing at the high school level?
Yeah.
Sounds like an absolute phenom. With an athlete at that age, we really want to make sure that they are topping off their nutrients, their micronutrients. We're not worried about macros at that level. He's training 4 to 5 hours a day. Plus, he's going to school. Yeah, I mean, he's burning the candle at both ends. We want to be dumping tons of calories into this growing young man. And hockey is a tough, tough sport. It's very physical. So we want to make sure that he has all the nutrients he needs to repair and rebuild. If he's having the oats and berry smoothie post-training, is that what she's saying?
Or is that
first thing in the morning?
Most places. Right now he's consuming the oats and berry smoothie minus the orange. I think it's
So
before,
definitely you want to hit that breakfast bowl first thing in the morning every single day. And if he's waking up somewhere between 4 and 5, he's on the ice at 7. I can't think of – that's what my athletes do. There's nothing better than that breakfast bowl first thing in the morning right before he goes out to skate. He wants – you want to probably, depending on how his stomach is, how he competes, if he has a nervous stomach or not, we want to make sure he's completely hydrated, very important. And then let's have him snack on a little bit of fresh fruit, which could be an apple, it can be a banana, it can be some grapes, it can definitely be some sort of fat source, which would be cashews, almonds, almond butter, something like that. We can even do an Ezekiel toast or a sprouted grain, you know, sandwich with some sliced bananas, strawberries, and a little bit of almond butter with some honey drizzled on top. Cut it into squares, let him eat a square every 15 to 20 minutes or so as he's, you know, backstage in the locker room, and have him eat as much as he feels he needs, but to make sure he's fully fed. He can even chomp on a square in between periods to make sure he has the energy that he needs. And then right after the workout, we want to get fruits and greens into his body. We want to get the proper foods back into his body. We're not taking any sports drinks at all. No sports drinks, no supplements, only real food for this young man. And we have a ton of recipes. You can do the Bapal juice right off the ice. You can have that shaken up and made. You know, we have our green earth drink, which I think is absolutely amazing. So you can make that, you know, the night before, have it available. He can pound that. And then we transition right into real food. And we're talking, he's off the ice. He competes at 7, probably somewhere around 10, 11 o'clock. Perfect time for a nice little omelet, egg scramble, get some good high quality nutrients into him, and then continue ticking on through the day. We only want him drinking water. We want him drinking water and these smoothies. We don't want him drinking any of the processed, sugary, you know, fruit juices that are out there. Definitely no sports drinks. And we want him eating every 2 to 4 hours, just like the pro athletes do. This is very, 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 just like I spoke with Joe, 365 days out of the year. Let's think like a professional athlete. Now, this young man, maybe he's the next hockey phenom. Maybe he's not. That's okay. He doesn't have to go in the NHL to be a success. What we want is him to be healthy so he can go out there and do whatever he wants to do in life. Hopefully, he can be in the NHL, and at the same time, he can have his master's degree in nuclear physics or whatever the hell it is. We really want to make sure he can do whatever he wants in life, and a lot of that does come down to nutrition. It sounds like you are doing a great job as a parent, but make sure your child is eating real foods, earth-grown nutrients. There is nothing better on this planet, and stay away from all the pills, the powders, the potions. We don't want that.
7 a.m. hockey games?
God bless you, Mom. I know Mike Goldberg, Goldie from the UFC, UFC color commentator, the man. His kids are hockey players. And
oh, yeah?
Just listening to Mike and what their schedule is, it's insane. So the hockey parents out there, you are a very, very special breed of sport parent where it's a lot of work. It's a lot of travel.
Get up and go, yeah.
It's a lot of super early mornings, a lot of late nights, lots of road trips. And it's hard. I mean, it's really football on ice. I mean, that's what hockey really is on the nitty gritty. I've worked with a few NHL players before, and I didn't know. Watching on TV doesn't look nearly as brutal and as demanding as it actually is, as sitting, you know, on the ice watching practice actually happen. It's pretty intense what these athletes go through.
We're getting our daughter a piano.
A piano.
She can play it here on her own time.
She's going to wrestle.
Okay.
She's going to wrestle. She's going to be, again, well-rounded. She can have a piano. She can have ballet shoes. And she's definitely going to have a wrestling singlet. And a gi. And boxing gloves. And roll her into that bang Muay Thai.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Just beat off all the boys.
Okay. Yeah, it's your job.
Sure. That's why I got my guns. What else do we have? We want to talk about Audible Podcast, everybody. You know that we are big advocates of books here, of book learning. there's probably no easier way to educate yourself than by just picking up a book, or what's even easier than picking up a book, putting in headphones and listening to a book. Whether you're at the gym training, trying to avoid the gym hags that are, you know, following you around, gym stalkers, or if you're in the car driving back and forth to work every day, if you're traveling, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're just unwinding at night. You want to have a good book. definitely have one in your hands. I love to have a real book in my hands, paperback book. There's nothing better than that. But what's darn close is having audiblepodcast.com/Dolce in your ears. Now, right now, there are no Dolce Diet books on Audible. We are working on one that we did put on the shelf because we had a few things come through. Notably, it was UFC Fit that really took our production time. But that's something we're going to work towards in the future. But right now, you can go to audiblepodcast.com/Dolce and download a free book of your choice.
You know what? They have Dracula.
Dracula.
I think it would be cool to like just
Dracula.
Lay in bed at night or yeah, just lay in bed at night, close your eyes, put your earphones on and listen to some classics.
Absolutely. I download a new audiobook every time I travel, and I usually run through it twice on short little trips. When I'm on an airplane, you have three. I'm flying to Alaska this week. I will download. I don't know what book yet, whether I'm going to do fiction or nonfiction. I like biographies. I really do like to change it up a little bit, but I download a book every time I go and travel, and I usually finish it before I get back, no matter how long. Because I mean, just walking, it's really fucking cool to be walking through an airport, sitting in a cab, on the plane, and I just have this seamless book just running through my mind, filling my brain with all sorts of useful content. Whatever, if I'm looking to escape into somebody else's world or if I'm trying to learn something new from myself, Rob Wolf, you need to get the Paleo Solution on an Audible podcast. That would be awesome.
Wait, I have to go back to Dracula because this isn't just any Dracula.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's Bram Stoker's Dracula that I'm looking at, but hello. It's performed by Alan Cumming and Tim Curry.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's performed. So it says the modern audience hasn't had a chance to truly appreciate the unknowing dread that readers would have felt when reading Bram Stoker's original 1897 manuscript. Most modern productions employ campiness or sound effects to try to bring back that gothic tension, but we've tried something different by returning to Stoker's original storytelling structure, a series of letters and journal entries voiced by Jonathan Harker, Dr. Van Helsing, and other characters with an all-star cast of narrators. We've sought to recapture its originality originally intended horror and power. So Alan Cumming, oh my God, one of my favorite actors. That's going to be great.
I love it. So that's the one I'm going
to
download.
Yes, you are, because we're both going to listen to it.
And who's the author of this one?
Bram Stoker.
But who? So how do people find it?
Okay, so it says it just says Dracula Audible Edition, written by Bram Stoker, narrated by Alan Cumming, Tim Curry, Simon Vance. You'll see it. It's under their bestsellers list right now.
There we go. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Dolce and for free, everybody, free. It's goddamn free.
Yeah, because this thing's $30.
Download your free copy of Dracula.
Do it now, blah, blah,
do
blah.
Do it now. lastly, we want to talk about the Dolce Diet Seminar, December 6th in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay. It is confirmed. We started promoting it at the end of last week through our newsletter. Right now, we are running the early bird registration. If you want to register, go to thedolcediet.com right now. Click on the link. You see the link of my ugly face sitting there. And click on that. Immediately apply, register immediately. The first 50 people to register, and we're getting really close to that. The first 50 people to register will be able to train with me for free at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, December 6th, before the seminar kicks off at 9:30. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., you're locked alone with me in a room with 49 other people. You scared of Dracula, you better watch out. And what I'm going to do is run you through an evaluation. I'm going to run you through a dynamic warm-up. I'm going to run you through a good workout. I'm not going to crush anybody, so don't worry. We're going to get our bodies moving. It's going to be more educational than really intense and sweating, and something that you can help move with bring your clients if you do work, if you're a professional in the industry, or it's something that you can do for yourself to really make sure your body is moving properly. I'm going to give you really good fine technique during that 1 hour free private group training session with myself. And then from 9:30 to 12:30, I'm going to be dropping knowledge on you. We are limiting this to 100 people total. It is going to be a very intimate atmosphere at the Mandalay Bay. We're extremely excited about this. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do become a part of the Dolce Diet seminar on December 6th, you will be registered. You will be enrolled into our certification program. So you will have first dibs at becoming a certified Dolce Diet coach. And that will be one of the most prestigious designations in the industry. You can go to any gym and say, I'm a Dolce Diet certified coach. And that is going to give you preferential treatment. You can imagine how busy we are over here. We turn down clients every single day, just because there is not enough of us to go around, and we need our army strong. We need Dolce Diet certified coaches to go out there and help people achieve their goals, hopefully like we've helped you. So December 6th, Las Vegas, Nevada, Johnny Hendricks versus Robbie Lawler, the rematch for Johnny's world title, Gilbert Melendez versus Anthony Pettis on that same card. It's the same night in the same venue. So if you're coming to Vegas to watch that fight, you better be at that Dolce Diet seminar December 6th, 9 a.m. DolceDiet.com. Check it out. And that's how. But guys and girls, sign up now. Sign up now. Sign up now. Because spots are going to get taken away. And then we're going to get, and this happened to a few of our seminars before. People don't take advantage of the early bird registration because you dick around for whatever reason. And then you try and sign up just after early bird expires, and guess what? The spots are gone. We don't want that to happen. So if you're truly motivated, you want to be involved, ladies and gentlemen, sign up now.
And that's, you can go to the DolceDietShop.com, and there's a link there, or you can go through our regular website, the DolceDiet.com.
There we go. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for the show. Joe, thank you for finally answering the phone. And sorry for my rant early on, but ladies and gentlemen, goddamn, if you go to the gym, fucking train. Train your ass off. And if you ask somebody a question, well, don't be rude about it. And definitely employ their advice if you do take the time. If you take their time to ask a question, definitely do what they say. Especially if it's me.
Especially if it's me.
Because I know.
Because you know.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. This week, on Friday, we have Dr. Lane Norton, a.k.a. Bio Lane. So if you're a fan of Dr. Lane's, he's going to be on the show, rapping with me. We're going to talk about all your issues, all your problems, and trying to come up with a way to help fix you. So start talking about that, and we'll post up a link here for you to ask the questions for Dr. Lane. And I'm looking forward to that show, because we have lots of things that we agree on. We have a few things that we disagree on, and it'll be good to bring that out to you guys and find a way, because what the goal is to help you guys. Our goal is to help you guys to be better, to be healthier, to really achieve your goals. And that's what I like bringing on guys like Lane, guys like Flex Lewis, guys like Rob Wolf, Zach Evanesh. Unfortunately, we had an audio problem this morning. Zach was supposed to be on today. That was our fault here. Problem with our you know, fucking, that was my fault, my problem. But anyway, and then Zach's schedule is a little crazy, so he can do it again on Wednesday. So we'll get Zach on here also. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Speaking of count the Dracula.
Just say it.
Boo!
The Mike Dolce Show. Pussycat!